let me invite you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 10 and 11 will be the verses I'd like for us to look at. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, he says, "Now the one who provides seed and for the sower and bread for food will provide and multiply your seed and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for all generosity, which produces thanksgiving to God through it." This morning, what I want us to look at is the key for you and me as we are in Christ, and it is this, that we would, as God has been to us, that we would be a generous people, and we would give generously. This one that Paul writes of in 2 Corinthians is God. And he speaks about God who provides for His people, and that He provides for us because we are His. We're His children. Any father, any mother, we will give to those who are ours, and we might even give to those who aren't ours. But we definitely, more often than not, are willing to sacrifice and give for those who are ours, being our children. And that is who God is to us, our Heavenly Father. He wants to give, and He wants to give graciously and generously to us. But as He gives, He calls for us to be in His will. That's what He expects of us, to be in His will, to walk in His will, but also to do that will. It's not just enough to walk in the way, but it is to be active and involved as we are in that way. We are His children because of one reason, because of the gift that was given in Jesus Christ, a provision from God for us, the greatest giving that God will ever give to mankind. And we gather on this day and we recognize it as we gather and we worship Christ, our Lord. Chris Tomlin, maybe some of you are familiar with his music. He penned these words in the verse of a song that he titled, "Jesus, Son of God." He writes, "You came down from heaven's throne. The earth you formed was not your home. A love like this, the world has never known. A crown of thorns to mock your name. Forgiveness fell upon your face. A love like this, the world has never known." And we would not know it if it were not for God and His generous giving to us through the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. The Apostle John records the words of Jesus in this familiar text, John chapter 3, verse 16. I've got it as the Holman Christian Standard has it written, "For God loved the world in this way." Maybe you learned it as, "For God so loved the world." Well, I like it when it says, "God loved the world in this way," because he says, what way is that? It's in this way, that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. That is how God shows his generosity and his gift of giving to you and to me and to all who will come to him. And as God has given his one and only Son for us, he has provided more than seed and bread, as Paul writes in 2 Corinthians. What God has provided for us is salvation. It's an independence from sin and the penalty of it, which the Bible teaches is death. Not just the death of this life, but death eternally. And God gives to us this independence because of our salvation in Jesus Christ. We live our lives for the glory of God in all that we do. And because of that, we have an independence from death and a dependence upon Jesus Christ. In every area and in each aspect of our lives, we as followers of Christ are to live in a way that brings honor and glory to God. Now I'm going to say that I'm not perfect in that. Every day I fail in bringing glory and honor to God. Now it doesn't mean that I don't do it in aspects and points, but I don't do it all the time and in every way. But the Bible calls that I should. And I know I fall short in that. So I trust in God, His grace, and I look to Christ, and as the old saying goes, I get myself up, I brush myself off, and I start all over again. Not being rebaptized, not receiving a new gift, but knowing that God loves me. And I can get up, and I can move on, knowing that grace will still be there, knowing that love will still be there, knowing that God's gift of Christ will still be there. And so I get up, and I move on. And I seek to please God in all that I do. And I pray that each and every one of us will have that attitude as we move through life and know that because we fail, it does not mean the end. It does not mean that God's love is removed from us. We're His children. We're not perfect. And so we continue by faith to trust in Him and to live for Him. As we live for God, we are to live as Christ. Paul writes in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, these words that may be familiar to you as well. He says, "For me, living is Christ and dying is gain." Or, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." What he is saying is, living isn't worth living unless I'm living like Jesus. Not just living for Jesus, but living like Jesus. And so as we talk about generosity, we talk about giving, may we do that as we live for God, live as Christ. We do this by seeing the great measure of God's love, but we also see it as we are generous in our giving. For you and me, giving is not just something that we as disciples of Christ are called to do. It is in part who we are. That when people talk about us, they talk about us because we are a generous, giving people. And that doesn't just mean within the realm of money. Some of you are greatly talented. Some of you have things that others don't. So when you talk about giving, it's talking about giving in every area of your life. As we say, the three T's, your time, your treasure, and your talent. And the areas that God has gifted you to do and to give and to be generous in doing it, do it. And for some of you, it may be just going over and visiting someone and having a chat and just making their day, or taking someone somewhere. Or maybe it is providing for someone financially. However the Lord is working in your life and causing you to be able to give and to give generously, I would encourage you to do that and not just see it as an opportunity to write a check or to give a dollar and it be done. I know that we just took up the Annie Armstrong offering, and that's a wonderful and great opportunity for us to give financially. But we are missing the mark if all we do is write a check or put money in the plate and we don't have the heart to want to go and to make a difference. And that doesn't mean around the world. That means right where you are, as I said last Sunday. May we be missionaries right where we are. May we share the love of God through the work of Christ. And may we be generous as we give in the ways that we give. Giving for a Christian is not happenstance, but rather it's habit. It is something that we, as it's defined, that we set as a settled or regular tendency or practice, especially one that's hard to give up. How many of us have habits? But we have habits. One of the greatest habits that you and I can have as being believers in Jesus Christ is the habit of giving. Giving by our time, our talent, and our treasure. And what we know is that this habit is something that's settled and regular. Should I give? I've already decided that. When do I give? I've already decided. It's settled and it's regular. It's kind of like church. We're going to church today? Don't even have to ask that question in my house. And when do I come? I come as often as God's people are gathered, so I can come in fellowship. So I can allow somebody to give and pour into me. So I can give and pour into someone else. So that we as a church can make a difference in this little piece of land that we call East Philadelphia Baptist Church. And we can make a difference in the community in which we live. Because we've already settled it. And we've made it a regular tendency in our lives. It's habit for us. And for this reason, Paul writes, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, "Remember this. The person who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And the person who sows generously will also reap generously." Where Paul goes from there is a clear and understandable truth. The Apostle Paul so wonderfully uses this simple analogy to encourage generous giving. Just as a farmer shouldn't expect a large harvest unless they plant generously, so Christians shouldn't expect many blessings from God unless we bless others in a generous way. Paul in verses 6 through 9 speaks of the need for Christians to be faithful and proportional as much as we are able by God's good grace in our giving through the church. A wise pastor once told me this. He called it the law of the harvest. And I know that there are those that teach on this, and you have to be careful on how they teach it and how you apply it in your life. But I want to give you three things that this one person told me, and I found it to be true in my life. And almost in every area, but especially in my walk with Christ. One is, you will always reap what you sow. For example, if I go out and plant an apple tree or a seed from an apple to grow an apple tree, I'm not going to come back in 6 months and see a lemon tree. What am I going to see? I'm going to see an apple tree. If I go and I plant corn, I'm not going to get butter beans. I'm going to get corn. And so what you reap, you will sow. But secondly, you will reap more than you sow. Now some of you go, oh, now Pastor, I'm going to test you on that. If I go plant that apple tree, it's going to produce one tree, right? But there's a good chance that I'm going to get 20 apples from that tree. If I go and I plant that one kernel of corn, more than likely, that stalk is going to come up as one stalk, but I'm going to get more than one ear of corn. And so if we will plant, sow, whatever we do, we will reap more than we sow. And then thirdly, you will never reap unless you sow. In every aspect and area of my life, I've met people that want things, but they never do to get them. If you want $1 million, it's usually not going to come by just wishing it. If you want to have a healthy relationship with people, it's not going to happen just because you look in the mirror and tell yourself that you're a likable person, that everybody else ought to really invest in getting to know you. If you want something, you've got to be willing to invest to sow the seed, whatever that is. For me to get to know each and every one of you in this room, and for you to get to know me, the seed that we have to plant is that of relationship, that we spend time with one another. Doesn't mean that you have to spend an hour with me, but we spend a little bit more time. And it's good for us because we are considered brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, I know that it's a little easier for all of you to get to know me and my wife and my child, and maybe a little bit more difficult for me to get to know each and every one of you and your spouses and your children and all that's going on in your life. But if God will give us the time and we're willing to plant that seed, God will bless it. And we will grow together. And we will grow for the glory of God. You will never reap unless you sow. And so I encourage you and me as a church, if we want to see people come to Christ, what are we doing about it? If we want people to see us for who we say that we believe we are, then what are we doing about it? If we want this church to impact Neshoba County, Philadelphia, Mississippi, what are we doing about it? If we don't plant a seed for something to happen, it's not going to happen. If you want something and you pray to the Lord of the harvest, then you'll be planting a seed and you'll see what God will do. And then in doing so, those other two things will happen. You will always reap what you sow, and you will always reap more than you sow. We are to give generously, and the word that Paul uses for generous in verse 6, as he writes to the church at Corinth, is tied to giving in abundance because of a gift that they have already received in abundance. And what the literal terminology is on the basis of blessing, Paul writes. So from that statement, I encourage each of us to give on the basis of blessing that we have received from God through Christ. Well, why should you do this or that? On the basis of the blessing that God has already given to you. And you may say, well, God hadn't really given me much. If you consider yourself a child of God and a follower of Christ, there's no greater gift that you will ever receive. And if you believe anything else, you're missing the whole point of why God sent His Son. Our giving is on the basis of blessing, of what God has already given to us, our salvation. Not for the things that we want, but the thing that we need. And sometimes we don't realize how desperate we need God's love, Christ's salvation, and how desperate the world is for it, even though they just don't know it. So from that statement, we give on the basis of blessing that we receive from God, and that giving should be cheerful. We should be cheerful in our giving. And you may go, well, what's going to motivate me to be cheerful about that? Well, knowing that it's going to benefit the work that we do in this community and the work that missionaries do around the world. Know that it's going to benefit someone somewhere at some moment through the ministry of East Philadelphia Baptist Church. But beyond that, what if someone this week needs the use of a pickup truck? And you're like, oh gosh, can you loan it to them cheerfully or can you not? I'll tell you a quick story. So I get my truck that's not new, but it's new to me. Didn't have many scratches on it. Man, it was beautiful. Low mileage. And so the student minister at my last church comes up and he says, "Hey, the pastor of this church, they know that we've got a cotton candy machine and they wanted to use it. So I told them that we could probably loan it to them. How do you feel about that?" I'm like, "I'm great, yeah. So how are they going to get that?" He said, "Well, I kind of said that the pastor had a truck and he didn't mind hauling it over there." So I was like, "Okay, what could hurt for me loading up a cotton candy machine and taking it over to another guy in the church?" Well, so we get in the truck, we strap it in, and as we're driving, we go up an incline. Well, this thing has wheels on it, so you know what happens? It's tethered around the side, and the wheels go out from under it, and it turns around, and it slams into the back of my tailgate, rakes it up, dents it up. After church, you can go see a little bit of what the body shop couldn't get out. And I'm going to tell you, I don't know how much cheer I had in going to do that. I was kind of indifferent, but I lost all cheer when I saw the back of that cotton candy machine. I was not a happy camper. And my student minister didn't say anything to me until we had gone to that church, left that church, got back to the church, and we got out of the park, and we walked up, and before we walked in the church, I think he was just in fear. And he said, "Man, I'm so sorry." And I said, "It's okay. I had my moment, and we're over and done." And I said, "But don't ever tell that minister that he can have somebody bring that. If he wants it next time, he can come get that cotton candy machine." Because I knew if they asked again, I wasn't going to be cheerful about it. So what's all that have to do with it? And whatever you do for someone, be cheerful about it. And let me say this. There are times we should be cheerful about things that we do, but we just have this attitude and this angst. Maybe it's not a matter of that we shouldn't do it because we're not cheerful. Maybe it's we need to change our attitude. You know, what if there's someone that has a great need in this church or this community, and we say, "Well, I'm not very cheerful about that, so I'm not going to do it." And you missed an opportunity to bless someone's life and maybe even receive a blessing in your life. But because your attitude wasn't right, you didn't follow up on an action that you should have done, and then you missed that seed that could have been planted and the harvest that could have come from it because you gave. May we be cheerful. Second, may we be determined. And what that means in the literal language is that we would be a person that prefers or to choose to give. That we would be determined to give. We would choose to do that. Why do I come and I preach every Sunday? Because I receive a check? I'm going to tell you, that's the last on the list if it ever makes it on the list. The reason I come and I preach every Sunday is because I love God, I love Christ, and I love people hearing about Him. That's it. Bottom line. It's a calling on my life, and I gain great pleasure in doing it. And every week, before I leave this pulpit today, I'm determined to be right back here next Sunday or tonight or Wednesday to preach God's Word. And guess what? If we go somewhere for lunch today, I'm going to look for God to open an opportunity for me to plant a seed. Maybe it's a waiter or a waitress that's had a really rough week, and they didn't give me great care, but I could just see that something was troubling them. And I'm able to still be faithful in tipping them and blessing them. Maybe I see somebody that needs a little help this afternoon, and I'm able to do that. And in a way, I'm able to preach the Word through my living. So for me, as a giver and being a child of God and a follower of Christ, I'm determined. I prefer or I choose to do what I do. And part of that is giving. And then third, that I'm enabled. Every possession that you have ought to be used for the glory of God. Now, think of the things that God has given and provided for you that you're able to do, and you gain joy out of it. God's enabled you to do it, but you stop. You give it up. God has given to you and enabled you to be able to give to others, to give for kingdom work. So let's be cheerful, determined, and enabled. And for the Christian, God makes this possible, and we are called to make it a reality as we are not just givers, but we're generous givers. And this happens when we, as Christians, one, make it a matter of prayer. Give from your heart. And then know that God is not limited in His resources. And what does that mean? That means give beyond what you can see. In a sense, make a commitment that you can't honor, but God can. When I am able to do things that are beyond my means and my ability, because God steps in. And He takes care of that. And He handles it. And then it causes me to say, "Thank you, God, because if it were just me doing it, it would have fallen flat. But because of you..." Now look, be reasonable, in a sense, with the resources you have and how you give. So don't limit what you give by putting a limit on God and His resources. You know, this church holds about 400 plus people. My prayer is for us to have more than that in service and more than that in ministry. But that's something I can't do. And that's something, in a sense, that you can't do. That's something that we trust God will do as we're faithful. And that He will grow this church. He will bless this church. And in that, He will expand His kingdom work in this community, state, and country. But it's because we know that God is not limited in His resources. And then thirdly, it's like the old Nike adage, just do it. Just do it. I see that with my daughter a lot of times. She talks about wanting to do something, and then she gets to that point of doing it, but she can't. I'm like, come on. I can remember when she first started swimming. But when she first started, and I tried to get her to jump in from the side of the pool, and she would go, okay, Daddy, I'm going to do it. And she'd get right there, and she'd just pump fake it to death, and she would never get in. And I can remember one time I got out, and I just walked up to her, and I just did what maybe not all good dads do. I just kind of threw her in. And my wife didn't really appreciate that, but, I said, the only way you're going to learn to swim is get in. And you know what? She didn't really like that, but before the day was over with, you know what she was doing? She was jumping in from the side. I didn't throw into 10 feet of water, but I wanted her to be able to experience that, but she wasn't going to experience it unless she just did it. And for some of you, God is just waiting for you to step off the side and to just jump in, to just do it, to give, and to give generously. So may we make it a matter of prayer. May we know that God is not limited in His resources. And would we just do it, just give. And if you believe that God has called you to faith through Christ and that He has called you to East Philadelphia Baptist Church, then give without hesitation. Give without restriction. Maybe today you're saying, well, I've got 50 bucks in my pocket and we're going to go eat lunch after church, but I really feel compelled that I need to give enough in the offering plate that probably would limit what I get to order today for lunch. What you sow, you will always reap more of. That meal that you think you're going to buy today, you may be able to buy the meal, but you can't buy that bread pudding after for lunch. You give up on the bread pudding, but you put a little bit more in the plate. I promise you, God will do something with it. We just have to change our mindset to see that it's not always about us, but it is about God and His plan for the lives of others. So we would be generous in our giving. Give without hesitation and without restriction. Give of your time. Give of your talent. Give of your treasure. Someone once said, your obedience to God is directly related to your giving. Your faithfulness as a church member is a function of your giving. And your joy as a believer in Christ is closely tied to your giving. So, what does your giving look like? Every area of it, time, talent, and treasure. Let's not get hooked only on money. And as we consider the matter of giving, what we give, when we give, how we give, and why we give to the work of the Lord through the ministry of this church, may it be said of us that we are a body that is willing and committed to give, and that we in our giving are prayerful rather than prideful, that we are obedient rather than obstinate, and that we are cheerful rather than conflicted. We give this way because of the model set before us by God through His one and only Son, Jesus, who is given to us immeasurably. And He has poured out upon us lavishly, excessively. And in that, we have received a freedom to salvation for the forgiveness of our sins. And we are enriched in every way for all generosity, which produces thanksgiving to God through us. Because of the generous gift given by God through Jesus Christ, we are not enemies. We are not in a war with God, but rather we are sons and daughters. And greater still, we're free. All because of the love and the gift of God. And so may that truth drive who we are, what we do, and in the end, how we give. May it be said of us here at East Philadelphia that we will give, and that we will give generously. We'll give graciously, and we will give godly.